more of you did show up, man. I disappear and you guys appear. That's great. We've been looking at those people. Last week we started this series talking about those people, you know, those out there, and we're kind of describing it, and we looked at the chronically needy ones last week, and how do we deal, and how do we minister, and how do we serve in the midst of that. And next week I'm going to look at the hypocrite. Christians are most often called hypocrites. We say one thing and we do another. And how do we deal with that? How do we minister? How do we serve? And how do we work in those situations? And then the last sermon, I'm going to look at this idea of the critical person. The person that's always finds something wrong. You know, you part your hair wrong. You know, you got the wrong clothes on, your shoes. I don't know. They always find something wrong. But this morning, I want to talk about the manipulator. Have you ever been manipulated? Have you ever had somebody play a game with you, twist you around? Have you had that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody ever been somebody play you? I'm a pretty good manipulator. I got you to raise your arms. I'm doing good too. All right. You know, the reality is we can all be manipulators. And I want us to think about it this morning. We can all be manipulators. We've all been manipulated. You know, I always call it somebody plays a game. You know, they're playing a game. How do we deal with that? What do we do? And what's amazing is it's nothing new. People have been manipulated, and manipulators have always existed. They've been there forever. If you look through the scriptures, we can go back into Jesus' day, and we can begin to look around there. There's a couple of ladies. Herod was king of the area of Jerusalem in that area, and he had a big old party. He's throwing a big old bash, and all these people are coming to the party. And he has a daughter, a very seductive, very well-dressed, well-mannered daughter. And she gets up and does a performance. She dances for an audience, for all the people there. And Herod is impressed. His daughter has just showed off for all his friends. So he tells her in front of everybody, listen, anything you want is yours. All you got to do is ask me. Now, this guy's the king. When he said that, that's true. Anything is yours. So she goes, talks to her mom. Well, her mom had a problem. There was a guy named John that was doing a bunch of baptisms out there on the Jordan River, and he had said some things about her mom, and she wasn't very appreciative of that. So she worked with her daughter and said, listen, you go back into Herod and you tell him you want the head of John the Baptist, that you want them to behead John the Baptist. Now, the king didn't want to do that. That was not what Herod wanted to do. He did not mind John the Baptist. He had no intentions with John the Baptist, but now his wife and his daughter manipulate him. When she comes back and says, I want the head of John the Baptist, the king has no choice. He's got to get the head of John, and he does. He was manipulated into beheading John the Baptist. We can go back in God's Word, and we can read the story of two brothers. You know, brothers, they always get along, right? Families, there's no trouble in a family, is there? Nobody manipulates one another in families. Nobody plays games in families. But we have these two brothers. Matter of fact, just so you know, the game playing with those two brothers started at birth because they're twins, Jacob and Esau, trying to get out first. You know, who's going to be first? Because whoever's born first, I'm going to tell you, there's a privilege of being firstborn. Who's the firstborn here? Anybody besides me? See? Firstborn are the best. Come on now. Yeah. Yeah, firstborn, man. They're the best. Well, they're fighting over firstborn because the firstborn has certain privileges. There's certain benefits being firstborn. And so it's called, back then it was called the birthright. Well, Esau had the birthright. He was firstborn. He got the birthright. And one day he went out hunting. And his brother Jacob stayed home and fixed lunch. And he comes back in. He's tired. He's sweaty. He's been out all day hunting. He drags his stuff in that he's been hunting with. And his brother's got lunch made. And he goes, I'm hungry. Feed me. He goes, what are you going to give me for it? Yeah, what are you going to give me for? Well, come on, I've been out working. Come on, feed me. And his brother says, well, listen, I want the birthright. You give me the birthright, and I'll feed you. And he's going, I'm starving to death. You need to feed me now. So birthright, that's later. Go ahead and feed me. You can have my birthright. He manipulated his brother into getting the birthright. I mean, it's something that goes on. You read on in the scripture. You go on and find one of the most interesting stories. I think the guy, I don't know where the guy's head is. The guy's named Samson. Okay, a guy named Samson, He has a woman named Delilah. All right. He marries this lady. God had bestowed upon Samson this tremendous strength. Israel at that time was in battles with the Philistines. And they always had this ongoing battle. And God had prepared a leader, and God had prepared a man with super strength. His name was Samson. And Samson was the leader, and Samson was a great warrior for them in the midst of the battles. And he had a girlfriend, he had a woman that he finally married called Delilah. Well, Delilah was a manipulator, all right? Now, this guy, all bronze, no brain, maybe? Yeah. Because he had the super strength, and she was working with the Philistines. And so she says, listen, you tell me where your strength is. And he did. Well, he says, well, he goes, my strengths, if they tie me with this twine, I'll be as weak as everybody else. So they tie him with the twine. He goes to sleep. She ties him with the twine. And then she has the Philistines stand out the door. And she goes, the Philistines are upon you. And the twine, he just snaps the twines. It didn't do any good. Yeah. So she goes, okay, you know. She does it again. You got to tell me where your strength is. What's your strength? Where's your strength come from? He goes, well, if I'm tied up with new rope, I'll be as weak as everybody. So one night he goes to sleep. She ties him up with new rope. Philistines are out the door. She says, the Philistines are upon you. Pops the ropes off. This goes on a third time. Now, do you think this guy would kind of get the idea? Come on, you know. One time, two times, three times. Listen to what happened. Look at the scripture here. Well, we got a couple of scriptures. Let's go on up a few places here. One more, and then a scripture. There we go. Then Delilah, that's her name. I like this. Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me you love me when you don't tell me your secrets? I mean, how dense can this guy be? I mean, you know, three times. You've made fun of me three times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. I mean, manipulator, just twisted. You know, if you love me. Yeah. She tormented him with her nagging. I like that. I'm sure none of your wives nag, right? Come on now. Now, don't raise your hand. I don't want you to get in trouble, all right? Oh, there's a good story. There's a good story. Peter's in hell. You know, when you go to heaven, Peter's in heaven, and there's two lines. One line is for men whose wives nag. And the other line is for men whose wives don't nag. And over here in the line where the women nag, the guy has the wives that nag, it's just as far as you could see. Any guys know what I'm talking about? It's just as far. Be quiet. Be careful. It's as far as you can see. Over here, there's one guy just standing there, and it's kind of like one guy here, all these over here, you know. And St. Peter's just kind of looking around, and so he goes over here and says, you know, you're the only one over here. What's going on? He goes, I don't know. My wife said, get over there, stand still, and shut up. Yeah. Nagging, she nagged him. I like this. Day after day after day, she rode this man. She nagged this man. Day after day. I like the way the Bible says this. Day after day, she nagged him. Until he was sick to death. I've had it. I'm done. I can't take it no more. And he tells her. It's amazing to me. He tells her the truth. The truth was he had taken a Nazirite vow. You know, he had no alcohol growing up. He had his hair grow long. He had this Nazirite vow, and his strength, and it was part of that vow, and it was an image of that was his hair. And so if you shaved his hair, he'd become weak as everyone. So he goes to sleep one night. She shaves his head. The Philistines are there, and they capture him. Four times. Manipulation is just a reality. It's part of what goes on. We get manipulated all the time. People do that. It's nothing new to have people play games with us, and we become part of the game. And how do we do it? But what's interesting is you look at manipulators and you see what goes on. There's usually three tactics. Let me give you three tactics that I think they use, that I've seen they use. The first one I put here is flattery. You ever been with that manipulator, that Anybody in the workforce, you ever hear about somebody called a brown noser? Anybody? Yeah. They just, you know, boss, you are the awesome thing. You know, you're the best boss I've ever had. I need Sunday off. You know, and they just brown nose. They just kiss up. You know, they were kiss. Anybody know those kiss ups? Come on. You know, they tweak, they twist. You know, boss, that was the best presentation I've ever seen. I talk about people, and I've seen this, that butter just drips off their lips. You know, it's just, you know, they can really slick things up and make things sound nice, and they just do that, you know. Or, you know, ladies, you know, oh, you look like you've lost weight. You know, oh, and then you got to just kind of tweak the conversation around, you know. Or some, you know, girl comes up to some, you know, kid, oh, man, you're so lovely. You're beefing up. Woo. You know, the games people play, the way we manipulate and the way we play these games, we use flattery, you know, they just flatter you. You ever that person that come up and just kind of twist you? Just kind of flattery, you know, just, you know, I always worry about people patting you on the back with a knife, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know, flattery, manipulators. Another tactic that they use is threats. They use threats. You'll regret this. You know, if you do that, you're going to regret that. You know, if you do that, I'm never going to talk to you again. If you do that, I'm not coming to your birthday party. If you keep talking, I'm going to hang up on you. Anybody deal with a manipulator that threatens you with all this kind of stuff? You know, they hang this stuff over your head and they throw these threats at you and just try to get you to twist, to do things. And the last one I put is guilt. They'll use guilt to manipulate you. I think that's what Delilah used. You're my husband. If you really love me, you would tell me. You really don't love me. But people use guilt. They'll use things. After all I've done for you, you can't do this one little thing. Anybody? Yeah. I never asked that much from you. Yeah. And we twist things and we use things. And, you know, we're going to the movies. But you're such a goody-goody two-shoe. You're this new Christian thing. You're not going to go. Who do you think you are? And you call yourself a Christian? Yeah. Do people use these things to manipulate us, to manipulate each other, to play those games with us? Yeah. What do we do? How do we deal with this? How do you deal with manipulators? What do you do? And what I want to offer is what I offered last week. You know, I don't have any slam dunk answers, but I know how to get to the answer, all right? You know, I don't know to say this is the answer, that's it. But I can tell you how to get there, and it starts with prayer. As we're going to go through this whole series on those people, we're going to have to understand one thing. It all starts with prayer. We can't solve all these relationship issues without prayer. And so what I'm going to give you is just three prayers, like I gave you last week about chronically needy people. I'm going to give you three prayers. Three prayers that you can pray to help in the midst of manipulative people. The first one, if you look at your outline, is this. God, help me recognize when someone is trying to manipulate me. Have you ever had somebody manipulate you didn't realize it till it was all late, till it was too late? They just played you like a musical instrument. You didn't know it until all of a sudden you're in the midst of trouble. See, we live in this dysfunctional relationships. And sometimes it's hard to recognize that somebody's playing us. Sometimes it's hard to recognize that somebody's trying to control us. That somebody's playing games with us. We don't always see this. We don't always appreciate this. And we need to step back. You know, that all of a sudden, you know, somebody's talking with you and they're making you feel guilty because you didn't do this. Or they want you to do this and you got to say no and they're making you feel guilty. Or they're threatening you. You know, if you really want this relationship, if you really want this to work, if you really want this, and they're threatening you. You know, a lot of times it's really hard to recognize when they're doing it. You know, they get in the way of God's will and they get in the way of different, and it's nothing new. There's a real interesting aspect in Jesus' life, and it happened to Jesus. And as we look at this, I want to make sure you understand something. It doesn't necessarily have to be an enemy that is manipulating you. Sometimes your friends do it, sometimes intentionally, and sometimes unintentional. And we don't always recognize. But here's this case when Jesus one time was with his disciples. He's with his inner circle there. He's gathered with his disciples, and he's sharing with them the stuff that's about to happen. That he's going to go into Jerusalem, and they're going to arrest him, and they're going to beat him, and they're going to take him out, and they're going to crucify him. He's going to die on the cross. And he's sharing this story, and he's sharing the events that are going to come. In the midst of sharing that, one of them jumps up and says, wait a minute. It's not going to happen that way. I want you to look at the scripture and see this inner reaction as Peter jumps into the conversation. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day, be raised. Okay, he's laying it all out. This is what's going to happen. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Peter says, okay, Jesus, let's get over here. Just you and I. You know, manipulators do their best work when they're alone with you, not in the group. You know, Peter didn't stand up in front of the whole group. Jesus, get over here. Listen, Jesus, this isn't the way we're going to do things. You know, we've got a different plan here. I'm not going to let this happen to you. And so Peter begins to manipulate the situation. Peter wants to control the situation. Peter wants to make things happen a different way. And see, a lot of times people do that in our lives. There's husbands who try to control things. There's husbands who try to threaten. There's husbands who try to manipulate. There's wives who withhold things from their husbands to try to control things, to try to manipulate situations. You know, there's brothers who make threats to one another. Yeah, I guess sisters do it too. They'll make threats to one another, you know. And we play these games, and we manipulate, and we try to control, and we try, because we want it to go our way. And this is what Peter's about here. And sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't see it coming. We don't understand. But we need to pray, God, help me recognize when I'm being manipulated. Help me see it coming. You know, as I looked at this, you know, how do we see this? How do we understand this? And so I put this, how do you recognize when someone's trying to manipulate you or control you? You feel guilty and find it hard to say no. You know, if somebody's twisting you and putting pressure on you and making you feel guilty, that might be a sign that they're trying to control me. They're trying to manipulate me. If they work a situation around and you feel like, you know, without me, you can't do anything. You know, you need me. You know, and they try to make you feel good. I got a book I read. Laura bought it for me years ago. And it says, when I say no, I feel guilty. Anybody been in that boat? You know, it's hard to say no. You know, sometimes you got to say no. And when you feel guilty, are they trying to manipulate me? Are they trying to get me to do something, to go somewhere that I shouldn't, to be somewhere that I shouldn't be? The second thing you can notice when somebody's going to manipulate is when you start to compromise on your values. You start to compromise your values to please others. You know? Yeah. There's this sweetheart of a girl dating a good guy, all right? And this good guy says, you know, if you love me, you would. You know, if you really cared for me, if you really love me, you would. Oh, and again, you know, they're going to go out for an evening. You know, you're going to go out with your friends, and they're going to go to a movie, or they're going to go to a show, and you compromise your values. You're at work, and your boss says, you know, we're going to do things a little different this time. It's really not against the law, but we're going to do things this way. And all of a sudden, you start compromising your values you know, some warning light should come on saying, am I being manipulated? Is somebody controlling me? Is somebody trying to play a game with me, and am I becoming part of the game that they're playing? And it gets easy to get sucked into this manipulation. And we don't even recognize it sometimes until all of a sudden we're in the midst of it. And so if you start feeling guilty and somebody starts putting pressure on you, you know, a warning light should come on. You know, if your values and somebody's saying, it's okay, we're only going to do it once, you know, something should start saying, wait a minute, something's wrong, something's not right here. So one of your first prayers should be, God, help me recognize when somebody's trying to manipulate and control me. Help me recognize that. The second prayer, God, empower me to put healthy boundaries in place. God, help me put some boundaries. Yeah. This is hard. It's not easy, especially when people are trying to make you feel guilty and people are trying, and you got threats hanging over your head and people are doing these things. It's not easy to have some boundaries. It's easy to compromise. And here Peter comes to Jesus after Jesus outlines the future, that he's going to give his life so that you and I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He outlines all of that. And then Peter comes into the midst of this and says, wait a minute, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it different. Look what Jesus told Peter. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good slap in the face. What's interesting is if you read the scriptures and you put this in the context of the whole scriptures, let me tell you what happened. Jesus is having a conversation. In the midst of the conversation, he says, well, who does everybody think I am? You know, what's everybody out there saying about me? And everybody popped up, oh, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're this and you're that, and they have all these different things. And Peter stands up, the same Peter here. Peter stands up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter stands up and declares the truth, that you are the Christ, the Son of the, that you're going to be the grace and the mercy that God has for us to have eternal life. That's what Peter says. And then just a few moments later, Peter said, get behind me, Satan, Jesus tells him. I think, man, it's like, whoa, what happened? I mean, here's the boundary. You know, Jesus saying, listen, you're right over here, a friend. You're my brother. You're one with me. And now all of a sudden you're on this side of the boundary. See, when we set boundaries up, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to have those boundaries. Yes, we're going to feel guilty. Yes, those threats are going to be there. You know that guy at work that's threatening to tell the boss on you every time you turn around? You better do this for me. I'm going to go tell the boss. Go tell him. Person that's threatening to hang up on the phone. I won't be your friend anymore unless you do that. Well, hang up. You know what? I'm still going to love you, but I'm not going to do it. We need to understand we got to set up some boundaries. Look at what it says. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. We need to set up some boundaries that outline what we're going to do. Anybody been at a store, mall, somewhere? You know, some parent has some kid flopping around like a fish out of water, just kind of laying there flopping on the floor. We'd call it a tantrum. Anybody? Anybody been, you know, see those kids? None of our kids do that, right? We don't have kids that do that. But, you know, you got that kid flopping around on the floor, needing water, you know. I want that candy, you know, or I want that cereal. But you know what? You ain't getting that candy. You ain't getting candy for a week. Get out of the floor. Yeah. Do we, you know, what do we do? We see these situations, you know, and these threats that these people make. You know, we got to, you know, if you're going to hang up, you know, hang up. But I'm going to love you no matter what. You might not talk to me. You might not want to speak with me, but I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to love you. If you feel you got to hang up, you go ahead and hang up. Yeah. If you think playing the field because I won't give you what you want, you know, sweet little girl to a good little boy, maybe he's not so good. You know, you think you can get better? You go out there and get better. I ain't giving it to you. Yeah. Set those boundaries up. How far are you going to go? And here's my key. Here's what I want to tell you. Set the boundaries now. If you wait to set them till you're in this situation, it might not be what you want. It might be too late. Where are your boundaries? How far will you go? Jesus, I mean, this is it. Yeah. Now, I don't have the courage to call too many people Satan, all right? Some people probably called me Satan, all right? That's probably true. Yeah. But we need to recognize this. Because Satan wants to get in God, in the way of God's will. What you need to decide, here's, let me give you a real simple. You need to decide what God's will is for your life and set those boundaries up. It's that simple. I can tell you where to find those boundaries. They're right here. Yeah. Real simple boundaries. Yeah. I love God's word. You know, when you really boil it down, there's 10 things in there, and pretty simple. You know, it's not real complicated. Yeah. But I think we make it hard because of control and manipulation, and we fight these battles. Because see, here's the situation. See, the things of God. When you let people control you, then God's not your Lord. He's not your God. They are. I want you to think about that. Now think about this. When you let somebody control and manipulate you, you have just made them God of your life. And that gets in the way of what God wants for you. We need to see that in our lives. We need to recognize it, and we need to set some boundaries up. Where am I going to draw the line? How far will I go? And I want to make sure you know, even friends can do it. Friends may have. Was Peter trying to short-circuit God's will? No. Was Peter trying to not be a friend to Jesus? No. Peter was trying to do good things for Jesus. Peter wanted good things for Jesus. But he didn't know God's will. I'm going to tell you, others might not know God's will for your life. They may have good intentions for you. They may have good dreams for you. They may have good desires for you. But they may not know God's will. You're the one that needs to know God's will for your life. And that's where those boundaries come in. Where am I going to go? How far will I go? You know, are they going to make me feel guilty? Are they going to threaten me? Are they going to flatter me? The one I see the most is flattery. Yeah. I've worked with an individual, and I mean, just butter flowed off his lips. I mean, this guy could make you feel like you could conquer the world. I don't know. But I knew exactly, and it's kind of like, I know what you're doing. Nobody needs to build Gary's ego because Gary strokes his own ego. Okay, you need to know that. All right? Yeah. I'm Gary the Great. Now, come on. Help me out here. Ask my grandkids. They'll tell you. Not. Yeah. But people try to do that to you. They'll try to make you feel so good. Then they'll sit down and cut you up. But it's not always your enemies that manipulate you. Just be aware of that. Recognize that and set some boundaries up. Where is it going to go? You know, somebody that's threatened, do it. If you think you're going to do it, go do it. You know, a lot of people threaten things they ain't got the guts to do. Anybody? Yeah. And they use that guilt. Yeah. Don't let them play games with your life. Find God's will. Find the things of God and set those boundaries up. See, we need to ask God, we need to pray, God, help me recognize when somebody's trying to manipulate and control me. And God, help me set up and empower me to set up some boundaries, some good boundaries in my life so I can do your will. And the last point I want to make is the one I don't want to make, okay? Honestly, I don't like this point, all right? I don't want to make this point, but I have to. God, help me see my own need to control and surrender everything to you. Those that have been here long enough, those that have been with Gary a while, know that Gary is a control freak. That's me. I like being in control. If we're going to drive somewhere, guess who wants to drive? Because I got the great skills. All right? We're going to do something. I like being in control. I've always been that way. As I was writing the sermon, I was thinking back. I'm 18 years old, and I'm an assistant manager of a theater. That was a great time. You guys know my story. Some of you do. I loved it, man. White patent leather shoes, my black pants, black cane, puffing on cigars at 18 years old. Man, I was great. Yeah, because it went to my head. I was in control, literally. The boss would come in the morning. He'd be there in the morning. He would go out when I came into work. I'd get out of college. I'd get there about 3 o'clock. The boss would leave. And I'm running the theater. I'm hiring and firing at 18 years old. Handling thousands of dollars, calling Paramount Pictures and Universal Studios. And I mean, I controlled everything. Inventories, it's like I want the boxes stacked like this in the counter. So when I go in to do inventory, they're like this. I'm still that way. You can ask Laura if I try to control her. Say no, please. She says it doesn't work. I try to control the finances. It's on my computer. Anybody in, God help me see my own need to control. I see it, but I don't want to give it up. Anybody? Yeah. These are battles. We need to kind of step back. I don't like this, but it's a problem. And we need to see this. And I put it this way sometimes for me. You know what? I got some good ideas too, God. Yeah. But we need to pray and we need to step back and realize I can't control things. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I don't make a good God, okay? And some of you guys, we already knew that, right? Yeah. I won't make a good God. I won't. That's not me. But I want to tell you, there's something different between being a leader and being in control. Okay? I want to make sure you know, there's leadership and there's control. And we need to acknowledge that difference. And we need to understand there's something different with being a leader. Being out front, encouraging and empowering people. Or being the one who wants to control everything. And our building campaign has been one of the biggest steps for me because everything the church did until we built the building, I could have always fixed to make work. Whatever it was, I could always some way, some shape, some form, put it back together and be okay. Now we start this building, I can't do anymore. I am blessed because Dan and Ron and the church has been so generous and we got some great leadership in here to take us to where we're at. And I feel real good. I was praying this morning. I feel real good. We're on the verge of our loan. As a matter of fact, we're going to ask you to be praying this week. On Thursday, 8:30, at 8:30 in the morning, we're going to start 12 hours of prayer. I'm going to ask you to take 20 minutes of that prayer time. And so as you go out, Dan's by a table out there. I want you to sign up to pray for 20 minutes for our church and the ministries of our church. And so we're going to encourage you to do that. Yeah. Because I really need a lot of prayer because I can't control it. It's a God thing. And that's what makes it more exciting and more thrilling. But we need to step back and realize, you know what? When we talk about those people, I'm pointing out there for those people. I'm not pointing at you, okay? I'm pointing up. They tell us when you're learning to preach, some of you guys that want to preach, when you learn to preach, you don't point like this. You always point up because that way you're not pointing at anybody. All right? Just a hint when you're preaching. So you notice I was pointing out. I wasn't pointing at you because we talk about those people out there. See, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those people out there. But I got 3 fingers pointing at me because I'm one of those people. And as a pastor of a church, I got to be really careful because one of my desires, and you go to school and all this, is I don't want to be a manipulator. And one of the things I've always tried to do, people that come to me and want me to minister with them and want to walk with me and want to spend time studying me, I always tell them, my objective is not to help you do what I need you to do. That's called manipulation. I want to help you discover what God wants you to do and help you fulfill that calling. Those of you who have met with me, you've heard me say those words because that's my desire because I don't want to be a manipulator. Do I have needs? Yeah. Does the church have needs that I want some of you to fulfill? Yeah. But that's not what I need to do. What I need to do is help you be who God called you to be. And we got to be careful there. And you need to understand, we all manipulate. If anybody here is married, have you ever manipulated? Say no. We all play games. Yeah. Now, it's okay to manipulate the kids, right? Parents, we can manipulate our kids, right? Come on, we got to have that privilege. It doesn't work either, does it? Yeah. We need to realize, you know, we all have a habit of manipulating. We got to step back. Look at what the scripture says. This is amazing. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Why don't you underline those words, perfect peace? Now, I'm looking out here. I can't testify to most of you, but I know many of you are in the same boat I am. Do you know anybody that has perfect peace? That things are perfect. I know a lot of people in perfect turmoil. I know a lot of people in perfect conflict. We all have that. But I love what this passage says. God will keep in perfect. You want perfect peace? What do? It's real simple. Trust in God. If you want perfect peace in your life, you got to trust in God. You can't control everything. You can't manipulate everybody. You can't control everybody. You can't make things go your way all the time. It doesn't work. It won't work. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care what effort you put in. You cannot control everything. And so what you got to do is you got to back up and give it all to God. That's what it says. You got to trust God. You got to trust God with your marriage. You got to trust God with your finances. You got to trust God with your kids. You got to trust God with your school. You got to trust God with that homework. You got to trust God with everything. And it's a challenge. Because, see, we want to solve the problems. And that's how we get manipulated. That's how we get played. Because I can fix this, and I can do this, and I can... And then all of a sudden, there's no perfect peace. And it's what happened. What went on and what went wrong. And so I want to challenge you. Will you trust the Lord? With whatever's going on, whatever's happened, will you trust the Lord? Can you trust the Lord? With everything. Not some things, not a few things. With everything. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say, and like I started the message, there's no slam dunk, here's the solution, bang. What I'm saying is if you pray and trust God, you can find peace and rest unto your soul because it comes from Him. Don't let people play you. Don't let them control you. Don't let them manipulate you. Pray that God help me recognize those who are trying to manipulate and control me. God, empower me to set up some boundaries. And God, help me not be in control of everything. See, I want to challenge you. Do you trust in the Lord today? With everything. Everything. Are you hanging on, clinging to some things that you just can't let go of? Your family, the church, relationships, your work, your job, your relatives, I don't know, your finances, I don't know, but you know where your battles are. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you love us and you care. That you're not a God who's wandered off and wished us luck. That you're a God who's intimately involved in every life. You know, as we're praying, every head bowed and all the eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you're hurting because somebody's manipulated you. Maybe in the midst of life. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in the family. Maybe it's your finances. You want me to pray for you? Would you just raise your hand? Just raise up your arm. If you've been manipulated, people are playing you, controlling you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Maybe you're on the other end. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you feel you got to be in control. That you can take care of it. Maybe you're fighting that battle and maybe you want to give it up today. Maybe you're saying, I want to surrender that control to God. Would you raise your arm? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for these who've lifted their arm. They've shown their heart, their hands to you. Lord, there are some who've been played like a musical instrument. Their heart, their minds, their life is hurt because of the control, because of the manipulation of others. I lift them up to you this moment. Lord, whether it's been through flattery or guilt or threats, Lord, that they've battled this control, I ask you to help them put boundaries in their life, to encourage their heart, to empower them, Lord, that they can stand in perfect peace. Lord, for others that are like me that find it hard to surrender, hard to give up, help us step back. Help us let go. Help us surrender it all to you. That all of us from both sides can trust in you. That you can strengthen and encourage us because you have a plan and a will for every life. Touch each heart. Encourage each life that they can be who you created them to be, the great woman, the great man that you've called them and all of us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.